I came to a point in my life where I was at a crossroads, and I said, look, you know, I'm doing drugs heavily, I'm drinking heavily, I'm not happy. This is not how, you know, this is not life for me. I said, there's got to be more to life, you know, than drinking and indulging myself in the sin. There has to be more.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a young man who came to a place where he realized that there was no satisfaction in drinking, drugs, and the gang life. He was at a crossroads, and something needed to change.
My name is Adam Taylor. I'm Muscogee Creek, and I was born in Dallas, Texas. I grew up in a home where both of my parents were present. They had some problems in their marriage. My father was an abusive man. Early on, I could remember him being a loving father and you know, teaching us various things. But as I began to get older, he started to use drugs, and it did a serious damage in our family. And so when I was 9 years old, my mother and father split up, and that really hurt me and made me a little bit angry. Growing up without a dad was very difficult for me because, you know how you see in movies how a dad and the son might be out in the yard just throwing the baseball around or throwing the football around, and the dad teaching the son how to throw a football and different things like that. I always wanted that, you know. I didn't have the opportunity, but, you know, I always wanted to have a close relationship with my father. I was the manly type, I guess, wanting to do the manly type things. I like sports and different things like that. And, not having my dad around it was hard because, you know, I wanted that from him and I felt like he abandoned me. And, for a period of time, I had no contact with him. He didn't even attempt to make contact with me or my brothers. And the times that he did call, he only asked for my mom. And if she wasn't there or she didn't want to talk to him, you know, he didn't even ask how we were doing or anything. He just, you know, hung up the phone and said bye. And that hurt for a lot of years. You know, I felt like my dad didn't even love me. And it really did hurt. So it was extremely hard. At the same time, as I said, my father was a loving man in the beginning, but it really, the drugs just made him a monster is how I would view him, because he was so abusive and angry and violent. I didn't even want to be around him. So when he left, even though I was angry and a bit hurt, it was a sense of relief at the same time. But then, you know, my mom was being a single parent and I had two other brothers, and being teenagers and her being female and we were all male, there were certain issues that she really didn't understand that I felt I couldn't really come to her about. And so, you know, I needed some male guidance in my life, which I never had. And so I pretty much had free reign over my life. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. I was never in a home where, you know, I come home from school and then, you know, my parents would say, okay, make sure you do your homework and make sure you have your clothes ready for school. Make sure you're in bed at this time. It was never like that. You know, when I got home, I did what I wanted to do. If I did my homework or not was pretty much up to me. My mom never really even asked, had I done my homework? I would show my mom my report cards, but, I guess early on in life, she did ask, but, you know, as I grew older, she really didn't ask. And so, you know, I just had a lot of freedom to do what I wanted to do. And I grew up in a pretty bad environment. It was a gang neighborhood, and there was a lot of drugs and different various things like that saturated the community. And so very early on, I got involved with gangs and drugs, and I began to seek that male guidance that I had needed. I began to seek it in the older kids in the community, and most of those were involved in gangs and, you know, doing drugs and drinking. And so I seen what it did in my family, but, you know, they were doing it. And so I felt like to be cool, I needed to do it too. And so, from the very beginning, I had an extreme problem with sin. I can remember going to school and just starting trouble and being a very angry individual. I guess when I was in early elementary, I did used to get picked on. But, you know, as I got into middle school and high school, I began to change that. And then I was the one doing the picking on. And, you know, many times I had to fight to protect myself. And so I just began to fight all the time. And you know, it came to the point where I wanted to fight. Anything that happened made me fight. And you know, I was smoking weed before I went to school. And so, you know, I felt like I always had a chip on my shoulder. And I was very angry. At the same time, at school, I was always pretty smart, which is a gift from God. I can't take any credit. But, you know, I was afraid to excel because I've always hung around the bad kids. And so I felt like if, you know, I excelled or tried to do anything worthwhile in school, they would make fun of me or whatnot. So I just did enough to get by and nothing more. And so I really held myself back academically. And that hurt me in the long run, but that's a choice I made. And so I could remember my grandma, you know, always inviting me to church. And there was something different about her than anybody that I had ever known. She had this love about her that, you know, I couldn't explain, but I knew it was so strong. And, you know, I was always attracted to her. I always wanted to be around her. And so, you know, she began to invite me to church. And so, you know, Saturdays was my party night. I did, you know, I hung out, drank. And so I didn't tell my grandma this was the reason I didn't go to church, but you know, that was the reason that I always said, you know, I didn't want to go. But I came to a point in my life where I was at a crossroads and I said, look, you know, I'm doing drugs heavily. I'm drinking heavily. I'm not happy. This is not how, you know, this is not life for me. I said, there's got to be more to life, you know, than drinking and indulging myself in the sin. There has to be more. And so one day I decided to go with her to church. And so I went, and immediately, as soon as I walked in the doors, you know, I didn't know what it was at the time, but I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it was just so strong. I felt so convicted of my sin. That is to say that, you know, I felt that, you know, all my sins were wrong and I was living wrong and I wasn't pleasing to God. And you know, I heard the sermon, you know, the pastor got up there and he preached. And he told me that Jesus loved me and he died on the cross for my sins. And I had heard that before, but it never meant anything to me until this time. And so I said, you know, I knew my mom loved me. I knew my grandma loved me. But the love that he explained that Jesus had for me almost seemed unreal. I said, well, if he can offer me this love, I want it. And the invitation, which was the opportunity to accept Christ as my Savior, was given. And, you know, I sat my seat and I didn't go up. Something held me back. And I got home and I couldn't stop thinking about it, you know. And at the same time, I was thinking, man, when I die, I'm going to hell. And that haunted me. So I began to go with my grandma to church often, more often. And I began to just really listen. And I guess it was Halloween, the year of 1998. A guy that I had known, he was a bit older than me, but not that old. And he was preaching a revival at a church in Fort Worth, which is not too far from Dallas. And everything that he talked about was like God was speaking directly to me. And I told myself, you know, if there's another opportunity to accept Christ, I'm gonna do it tonight. There's no way I'm walking out of here without doing that. And so he finished the sermon, and once again, I didn't go up. And on the way home, I just began to cry. And my grandma asked me what was wrong. And I told her, you know, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, but I'm not ready to live that life, you know. I'm too deep into the sin that I'm in. I'm not sure if God will forgive me for everything I've done. I've done some pretty horrible things. And she began to show me scripture that said, you know, God will forgive us for our sins. For example, there's 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, you know, I really began to ponder and meditate on these things. And when we got home, my grandma just began to show me an abundance of scripture that really applied to my life. And, you know, that Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. And, you know, if I did ask for the forgiveness, all my sins would be forgiven. And so I said, okay, grandma, I'm ready. So she said this prayer, and she said something to this extent, but I'm not exactly sure if this was word for word. She said, dear Heavenly Father, you know, I come to you a sinner, Father. I recognize I'm a sinner. You know, I recognize that there's sin in my life. And with that sin, I can't get to heaven. And you're not pleased with that sin, Father. But you sent your son to die on the cross so that my sin could be forgiven. And so that, you know, I would not continue to live a life of sin. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And, you know, I want you to come save my life. And so it was similar to that. And so I prayed that prayer that day. And, you know, since that day, I've had many struggles. It hasn't been an easy road. There was still sin in my life that I had to get cleaned out or that God had to clean out. And, you know, I just had to let him. And, you know, I still smoked weed for a couple of years after that, but sooner or later, the Lord, you know, removed that out of my life, and he removed the drinking out of my life. And, you know, like I said earlier, I was involved in a gang, and so I really didn't know how that was going to play out. You know, it's not a situation where you can just say, you know, I'm not in the gang no more. You know, it was not like that. And so, you know, that scared me. And so I told the leader of the gang, I said, you know, I can't be a part of this anymore. He said, you don't have any choice.
Well, that's a difficult thing to hear when you know what you have to do. But it comes with the territory. You see, it takes courage to follow Jesus. Thankfully, it's not a journey we have to walk alone. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he reminds us that we don't need to be afraid. My friend, no matter what you may face along the way, stay close to Jesus. He will bring you through. And if you haven't yet come to him, why not now? Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that we could be forgiven and so that our relationship with God could be restored. Think about it. That's how much he cares for you. He tells us in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, why not now? Want to know more? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take the Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Adam's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.